WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am positively back on my feet. The bye week is over. October is over. My birthday month is over. I think my back pain is over. All of it will be brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We get back on the road with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Silver Spring Mining Company on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're going to keep our regularly scheduled event at the Chop Tank in Fells Point. So we're going to be in White Marsh, Perry Hall area with Gary Risley, former Skipjack, as well as Councilman David Marks on Thursday. And then Friday, we move downtown, back downtown to Fells Point. I'll have some Fells Point friends. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. The Ravens did not play over the weekend. They will be playing this weekend. I don't think we're going to get a blizzard at game time this time when the Minnesota Vikings come to town. Tell you what, Kirk Cousins made a little bit of money down the road, 38 miles to the south, the team that has no name and poor ownership and all that stuff. But watch them play on Sunday night. And Luke, you know, I've been to Minnesota. I've sculled with all of them. And that was just a piss poor effort, dude. I hope we see that version of the Vikings on Sunday coming in here. I watched the Cowboys. And Luke, my global observation after watching a lot of bad baseball, some decent football, you know, through the weekend, even some college football on Saturday night. There's no dominant team in the National Football League. As Coach Billick would say, our partner on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation, it's all sitting there. And I think it's easy for John Harbaugh to say, yeah, we got our ass kicked by Cincinnati last week, but look what happened to them in the Meadowlands. And it wasn't even Joe Flacco wearing number five, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really applies in the AFC especially. I think in the NFC, I mean, you've seen Arizona do what they've done up until Thursday night. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have played really well since week one. But in the AFC, I mean, look no further than the last 2 weeks when you come up from air for air at the end of the weekend. Cincinnati was the number one seed last week in the AFC. They lose to the New York Jets. The Tennessee Titans are the current number one seed in the AFC. They lost to the New York Jets, what, 4 weeks ago, roughly thereabouts? The New York Jets have two wins all year, and they've beaten the team that's been in the top spot in the AFC the last 2 weeks. It's a crazy league. I think in the AFC, I'm confident in saying there's a handful of pretty good teams, and the Ravens are certainly in that group, and I'd even put the Ravens fairly high in that group. But is there a dominant team? Is there a great team? Is there a team that lacks a flaw that you would say would be potentially fatal to their hopes come January? I have no idea at this point. I mean, even Buffalo coming off their bye week and prior to their loss to the Titans on Monday night a couple weeks ago, they were looking like the cream of the crop in the AFC. They kind of were sleepwalking through the first two and a half, three quarters at home against Miami. So I don't know. I mean, it's been fun. And maybe Sunday to kind of make it a little more league-wide rather than just AFC. Just take a look at the quarterbacks. You mentioned Mike White, you know, a guy wearing number five for the Jets, but not Joe Flacco, who they just reacquired.
Dude, by the way, I just want to say, like, I got to that game around the two-minute warning because the Steelers game went to halftime earlier. Mm-hmm. And I saw number five flicking it, and I even heard his cadence, and it sounded like a Jersey accent. And I kept looking, and I'm like, I know he was wearing 19 at practice. Was that like a red jersey thing? I didn't know. Maybe it was a United thing. I didn't know what was going on. It's bye week. I'm sort of asleep on that and working on just getting my back organized and not canceling crab cake tours on Friday. By the way, two crab cakes this week on Thursday and Friday. I thought it was Flacco for like three snaps, and they were moving the ball down the field. And I'm like, eh, Flacco, that doesn't, who's White? You know, like, and then I thought, why would Flacco be playing? He just like got off the bus 48 hours ago. He didn't even know the coach. Is it got a new coach from the last time he was there? I'm thinking, nah. And then I saw him clipboarding with a little earpiece, and I'm like, who's that guy? And then the Cowboys guy, who I thought was Andy Dalton for a couple of minutes. And I'm like, Andy Dalton doesn't wear 10 and he doesn't play in Dallas anymore. Dude, it's the bye week, and I'm trying to figure out, like, where's Cam Newton these days? You know, Drew Brees is on TV. I know the Manning brothers are, like, on TV, too. It really is like a really weird changing of the guard in that way, right? When you don't even know who the backups are.
Well, and that's what's been weird about this specific week. I mean, Cooper Rush, Mike White, as you mentioned, Geno Smith having a really good day for Seattle, albeit not against a very tough opponent. And then we haven't even mentioned, you know, Jameis Winston goes down, sounds like a potential season-ending knee injury. And Trevor Siemian, who, you know, ghost of Denver Broncos post-Peyton Manning lousy quarterback past, comes in and leads the Saints to a victory over the defending champs. So crazy. I mean, we always talk about it being a quarterback-driven league. I don't think that's what people have in mind, but it really led to an entertaining, unpredictable weekend in that way. And, you know, especially with what Mike White did for the Jets, the Ravens benefit from that. They're back in first place. Didn't even play on Sunday. They're back in first place in the AFC North, but it is just the latest reminder. It is so cliche, and you know me, I don't like cliches. I don't like leaning on things that people say because they don't really have anything more intelligent or more insightful to say. It is such a week-to-week league, and every time you think you have something figured out, something else happens, and you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, that's what makes this so fun. I mean, go figure. The Ravens get their butts kicked at home by the Cincinnati Bengals, and you're thinking, all right. I mean, good for the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase looks all world as a rookie wide receiver, and Joe Burrow's coming into his own. And
we know we're good because we beat up the Chargers, and we know how good they were, right? Especially right in the morning, right?
Who just lost to the Patriots at home. I mean, you just go round and round, and you can – what? It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. You just kind of – this team beats this team, and then this team beats this team, and then you go back and say, well, wait a second. That first team – beat the pants off that last team I mentioned. I mean, it's crazy in that way. And ultimately, and I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com last week, applying it to the Ravens, and it applies to any team. All of these teams have flaws, and all of these teams have flaws that will potentially end their season, whether it's in December or whether it's at some point in January or early February. The teams that are ultimately left standing at the end, one, we'll have some luck along the way. And I think you look no further than the Ravens' two Super Bowl teams and see the luck and good fortune they had at some point in time over the course of their run. And two, they figure out a way to alleviate, to ease their weaknesses, to overcome their weaknesses, to minimize them at the very least. And we're going to see how that plays out. But boy, you look at the AFC right now, and I mean, the Titans did not look very good a month ago, and now you give them some credit. The Raiders, I mean, think about everything they've gone through with John Gruden and everything off the field, yet you give them credit for how they've played and how they've, you know, the players had nothing to do with that. You know, you don't want to take it out on the players. You know, they've endured, and, you know, they're healing up a little bit with their bye week, but
they were middle school, you look at those when Gruden sent those emails.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Gruden's the only one that's, you know, that speaks that way. I mean, because the NFL is going to, dude, I know we haven't gotten into it. We'll do that in a second segment, but I found it fascinating how many owners and owners' wives and owners' families they showed in the box over there. They're not even subtle. I mean, they've really taken a page from the former pred. There's nothing subtle about any of it. It's just sitting there out there in your face as to how they're going to run their business unless the government does something about it. And that's an amazing part on top of all the layers of the league and the mediocrity of most of these teams. And where is Patrick Mahomes? And, you know, who's going to run the Washington football franchise? Like all of these things that go on, but the off the field stuff going on in St. Louis with the owners. Luke, I spent the week, and I haven't told you this. You and I haven't like caught up, man. We like sit around and talk so much football. I spent the weekend trying to figure out whether we're going to the Super Bowl and Radio Row, and I booked a flight. I want to get you a flight. I don't know if there's going to be a Radio Row. I watch the television shows. Like I watched Bill Maher over the weekend. Everybody's got masks on out there, and when they're indoor, it's different. And I mean, we're what, 12 weeks out on, you know, being a part of all of that. And here's the weird part, and this will make you laugh a little bit. Spent an hour looking for hotel rooms. Got one, right? More money than I want to spend, but not so much that would break me or keep me from going. And then I thought, all right, so now we're going to get kicked out of the hotel on Thursday like we usually do, and we're getting kicked out. I'm thinking, where are we going to put us? I should put us down like in Orange County and just go for 1 hour drive Thursday, 1 hour drive on Friday. Then it's over. I can get out of the city, do all that stuff. And I found an inexpensive hotel down in Costa Mesa. Beautiful place. If you have to go down with me, we'll get some Sancho's tacos. We'll get some chubby sauce. We'll walk the beach. We'll go out on Dukes. We'll watch the sunset. We'll do it all. And then I started thinking, this is the really weird part of it, because I was thinking about St. Louis and SoFi Stadium, which I saw with the Chargers all afternoon with Tom Brady, or not Tom Brady, it looks like Tom Brady, it's the Patriots, but it's not Tom Brady, although they played like that yesterday. And I thought to myself, the Ravens might be in the game. Like there's like a one in something shot that like, they're as good as anybody. And then I never really considered that until like I started booking rooms and I'm like, well, if the Ravens are there, I got a room. You know what I mean? Like, cause I didn't think about it like that. I was thinking like Luke and Ness and Monday and how do we get there and where's the coffee and how many portals and how many dogs are going to sniff my crotch on the way in there and machine guns and all that stuff. And then I thought, oh yeah, Lamar might be in the game. You're like, I haven't written that part of it off at all, but it's the first time I thought Ravens, Super Bowl, Los Angeles, February 6th through the 14th. I haven't had a thought about that until now. And it's, yeah, when the Steelers are beating the Browns in the middle of the afternoon, it gave me a little, you know, pause for cause, if you know what I mean. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that thought. I'm not going to sit here and say they can't win the Super Bowl. I didn't think that when they went through their run of injuries. Now, if you're asking me to predict it, no, I'm not predicting them to win the Super Bowl or to get to the Super Bowl.
Who are you predicting in the AFC this week then? Kansas City still?
It was Kansas City at the time. Now I have no idea. I would say this, Buffalo most likely, but that's not sitting here saying, I mean, I just said Buffalo was sleepwalking through the first, you know, three-ish quarters against Miami on Sunday, and they were coming off of their bye week. So
you know, every time I see the Bengals and the Browns play, I realize the jerseys they wear and that there's sure. You know what I mean? Like there's a real uphill battle for teams that can't do it, don't do it, have never done it. And I think there's a real benefit for the Chiefs. You know what I mean? That have done it. And for John Harbaugh, who's been there, or Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, who knew the road there to some degree, and Carson Wentz throwing these goofy passes on the 2-yard line, giving a game away in the fourth. I mean, there's just all sorts of crap that happened over the weekend that made me start to think like, well, the Ravens are going to be playing in January, so they got a head start on a lot of these jokers.
Sure. No question about it. And the Ravens perceived failures or shortcomings or whatever you want to call them in January, the last few years, you would hope that that's something that they have that develops into an edge.
I've been in Marlon Humphrey's locker about that. After those, you know, I hope it pisses him off, you know, I hope
sure. But I mean, you look at this team, they clearly have flaws and we can get more specific into the Ravens, but I mean, that's why I said you look around the AFC and every time you think someone's dominant, then they lose. And look, I'm not writing off the Bengals now just because they lost to the Jets, because the Titans lost to the Jets 3 or 4 weeks ago. And you look what they've done the last couple weeks. We say it all the time. It is such a week-to-week league. And John Harbaugh even kind of bristled about it the day after the loss to the Bengals. And actually, it was his post game. It wasn't even the day after. It was his post game talking about, you know, I tell you guys this every single week when you ask big picture. And you know, John was clearly unhappy and unhappy about the performance. But I say this all the time. There is no ongoing narrative. That's for you guys as media and fans to think whatever you want in that regard. But it literally is preparing for the next week's opponent. What you did the previous week, yeah, that has some impact in terms of injuries and the health of your football team and who's playing and who's not. But beyond that, you know, your preparation for how you played against the Chargers may have very little to do with what's going to happen the following week. I mean, maybe certain elements of your game plan, mainly, I mean, certain elements of the scout team, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, there's similarities between opponents, but no two teams are the same. So it really is a matter of compartmentalizing. And when you win a game, that's great. Be happy about it for 24 hours and then it's over and you move on to the next opponent. And maybe that's something that the Bengals struggled with this week. To your point, you know, teams that historically haven't won, or teams that are younger and just haven't been in that position just yet, you can struggle with that. I think there's absolute validity to that. And in the case of a team like the Ravens, or like Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, or Bill Belichick with a Patriots team that's suddenly playing better than it had been a few weeks ago, Sean Payton in New Orleans, you know, you look what they did with Trevor Siemian replacing Jameis Winston. But you know, those teams that compartmentalize and can really move on from the previous week, whether it's a big win or a humbling loss, you know, those are the teams. Talent matters, of course. That matters for any team, but those teams that can do that, and those teams that have experience doing that, whether it's their coach, whether it's their quarterback, whether it's a core group of veterans, yeah, I think they are set up to navigate a now 17-game schedule where there are pitfalls around every corner and injuries and other weird things that can just happen, or officiating. I mean, you know, some really questionable calls at various times on Sunday. I mean, as much as the Bengals deserve to lose that game, how about the helmet-to-helmet call at the end of the game? Brutal. What was that? I mean, and you know, I mean, Ness, I'm not a guy who likes talking about officiating.
Dude, that's going to turn on a win at the end. I mean, I thought about and I thought, yeah, they're the Bengals and they don't get calls and stuff, but that was brutal. It was terrible. I mean, he went down with his shoulder to tackle. I mean, I said to my wife, all I can say, and I hear Marvin in my ear, I hear Brian in my ear, I hear John in my ear. What do you want me to tell my player? How do you want me to coach that?
If that play in and of itself, and we've all seen the replays and watching that in real time, and even seeing the first couple replays, Ness, I was watching the game over at my sister's house. I was watching it with my brother-in-law. I kept asking him, like, what am I missing here? Like, what is there something about this play that I didn't see?
You pick the flag up and you play on. You say that was a mistake. We're not going to change the game on a guy who lowered a shoulder to make a tackle. That's crazy.
Well, a guy who lowered a shoulder, and then the ball carrier lowers his helmet
into the guy.
I mean, it's just
defenseless tackler.
If there was one, yeah, sure. I mean, to me, that's a football play. I mean, if that play is a foul, that could be called a half dozen times in every single game around the league. I mean, that's just football. And who knows? Joe Burrow, they get the ball back and Joe Burrow could have thrown a pick, or Jamar Chase fumbles, or, you know, because it was that kind of day for the Bengals, right? I mean, they look like the Bungles after looking like the cream of the crop in the AFC North the previous week.
Did you see the Browns?
The Browns, I said it at one point, if you follow us on Twitter at WNST, Bengals going to bungle, Browns going to brown, and well, they did. And I mean, look at Jarvis Landry, who's been so huge for the Browns the last couple of years, a guy that could play for my team. I think he's a heck of a player, but you know, the big fumble, they had a couple drops. down the stretch. I mean, I thought Mayfield made some nice throws in crunch time and no one made a play for him. But on the flip side, we've left the Steelers for dead and Ben Roethlisberger's
not Nestor. I want to make that clear.
I mean, in general.
I argue with a lot of people over the last 6 months about burying the Steelers and burying. I'm telling you, there's a DNA about teams that, you know, maybe the Saints won't have it without Drew Brees. Maybe, you know, the Patriots won't have it without Tom Brady. But the Steelers, I don't know, man. That's Hatfield McCoy to me. That's one of those things. It's like Yankees Red Sox. There should never be any disrespect.
Yeah, I think I agree with you to a degree, but at the same time, you just mentioned Drew Brees. Drew Brees looked old his last couple of years, and ultimately that they fell short, and that was part of the reason why he wasn't the same guy. I still have a lot of questions about Ben Roethlisberger, but that defense playing is starting to hum again and playing well, and you know, they're running the football better. Their offensive line is playing a little bit better. And, you know, and to his credit, as much as I was just, you know, disrespectful to him, if a Pittsburgh fan would be listening, he's looked a little bit better, but it's still not the Ben Roethlisberger 5-6 years ago. And I still think ultimately, as much as we were just talking about these backup quarterbacks and it being a nice story this weekend, ultimately this league is still about dominant elite quarterback play. And that's where I'm still going to look within the division. And I give Lamar Jackson the edge over all these guys. Now, Joe Burrow is looking better and better. You know, Mayfield at times looks good, and other times you don't believe him. believe in him, and Roethlisberger still wondering. But you know, it was a fascinating weekend for the league. And again, in the AFC, still trying to figure out where all these teams rank. I still think the Ravens should feel really good about where they are. And now it's a matter of coming out on the other end of the bye week and starting fast, because we know we've talked about it, that post-Thanksgiving schedule really picks up. But a chance starting Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, who were not impressive whatsoever on Sunday night, a chance for the Ravens to get back on a winning note and to kind of get their momentum rolling again.
Busy week back here at WNST and Baltimore Positive. We're back on the beat, Minnesota, then Miami on a short week. Then we go off to Chicago. Lots of planning, a little bit of traveling, getting my back together. We got the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're going to be at Silver Spring Mining Square on Thursday. We'll get really sick on Friday, man. Don't hurt your back. That's the lesson in life. Thank you, Dr. Steve. Maryland Lottery, let yourself play. That's going to be Thursday at Silver Spring Mining. Friday, we're going to be back down at Chop Tank at Fells Point over on Broadway with the Atlas folks and Alex Smith and some new friends. We're going to be back at Timonium at Nick's Grandstand Grill next Friday. We're also going to be at Fadley's next Wednesday. So big crab cake month, big turkey month, big football month. He's Luke, I'm Nestor, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.